You're listening to the Relaunch Podcast with your host, Hillary DeCesar, best-selling author, TV host, speaker, and 23 years as a neuro-business performance coach. She will merge modern personal development, up-to-date neuroscience, and ancient wisdom with a twist, while using her one and only 3HQ method. Get ready to be empowered in your journey of self-reinvention and ignite your professional dreams. Each episode unfolds inspiring stories of remarkable relaunches, revealing the tips and secrets behind them. Join us in these conversations, offering you the insights and tools needed for your own extraordinary relaunch.
Welcome to the Relaunch Podcast, and so glad that you are here today because we're going to go into this real category of being authentically you, of being when you're willing to express yourself and know that there are people out there that need to hear it, know that it might even give you your own sense of clarity. And today I have been blessed, literally, to have gotten to know this woman over the last probably like less than 6 months, but what a presence she is. This is Izane. Did I say it right?
We're almost there. Izane. Yes, I think you doubt yourself sometimes, and I think you actually have it.
Okay, I know I have it, and it's Izane, yes. And it's Iranya, and I'm going to say this right, Price. I'm so excited because you just got married, and I can say that. This, you know what, language was never my strong suit. I took Latin for 7 years, so I never had to speak anything. But anyway, I have Izane.
Yes.
Izane with me today, and she is a beauty industry expert. She has 13 plus years as a prestigious brand in prestigious brands like Lancome, Dior, and she's now CEO of an incredible company called Skin, S-K-N, Muse, M-U-S-E, promoting inclusivity in luxury beauty. Under her leadership, Skin Muse gained recognition from no other than the Beyoncé, Issa Rae, Vogue, Elle USA. She has raised almost $300,000. She was in the A16Z 2022 Cultural Genius. This is Andrisian Horowitz. And she also is a beauty. She uses beauty actually as a tool for financial empowerment. Her company has sponsored 100 plus therapy sessions for kids in actually underserved communities. She champions authentic representation, empowering all, especially Black women. She wants them to embrace beauty as a tool for rest, self-expression, and empowerment. And today it is my pleasure to have Izane. Izane on the show. Thank you for being here. And again, I have had this, literally, it's been so wonderful getting to know you, following you. And what we're going to talk about today is a topic near and dear to my own heart. And I feel like I just, you know, there's the big, gigantic hug of support when we're talking to other fellow entrepreneurs in business, especially female entrepreneurs. So I would love to have you kind of take us back to this major relaunch that allowed you to be where you are today.
Okay. Hillary, thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited. I told myself, I actually took a hiatus from talking to people for a while. So you're like my first interview in a really
long time. Ooh, love this.
Yes, in a really long time. take you back to, you know, my relaunch moment. And we're talking personal life, right? We're not talking the...
You know what? No, here's the thing. Relaunches are both personal and professional. And when I say the most significant relaunch that has truly shaped who you are right now, today, what would you say that would be?
So there have been a couple moments, but I remember one of the strongest. People don't know this about me. Now they'll know, but I actually migrated by myself to this country at 16. So I come here. It's one thing to travel the world with your mother. It's another thing to be by yourself.
That is incredible.
Yes. It's one thing to be by yourself. And I'm in this country, I suddenly have the responsibility of an adult, but with the authority of a child, right? And that comes with so much complexities. And in that moment, I, unfortunately, like every naive young woman, I ended up in a relationship with an abusive person. I'm a baby. I'm unaware of what a healthy relationship is. I'm unaware of the impact of pairing up at such a young age with somebody who's so vile and toxic. And here I am with this responsibility, a child in a new country.
Zaina, so I have to ask you, what was the impetus for you actually leaving your country at 16 years old?
You know, I was, unlike every other immigrant story who comes, you know, seeks refugee or an asylum, I was just fortunate enough at that point to be so smart. I graduated high school at 15. And because I was done, I convinced my mother that, of course, she should let me go on to college at 16. You know, I actually wanted to go at 15, but she said, you know, I need you to wait a little bit. So I waited at home with her for a year. I took a gap year just being with her. And I was like, I need to go. I'm ready. And I wanted to, I felt I could handle it. And, you know, I applied to a bunch of universities and I got in. Yeah, that's really how I left in search of a better education. Yes, that's actually why. Yeah.
And so you get here, and how quickly did you meet this guy?
Oh my gosh. I think within that first year, he met me when I was still 16. Yeah, within that first year. Now I'm in this relationship, and as you can imagine, everything, the sun that radiates around me. My name actually means good mother. The literal translation is to say good mothering spirit. He sucks every single light out of me in the whole process, every single light. Now, I'm navigating this. I'm navigating school. I'm still getting great grades, but my personal life is just the light keeps getting dim and more dim and more dim. I battled this for a couple of years, and this is where the relaunch happens. I think I was, I was around 23. I met him at 16. I stayed there till 23. Mm. And at 23 is when something in me snapped. Along the line, this person had threatened my little baby brother, who I was just helping migrate to America. And he was living with me. And, you know, one thing about abused women is that it takes you seeing that other people are also in danger for you to realize that you are in danger. Mm-hmm. And that was just enough for me. I literally, something just snapped and I became more vocal. I remember I told my mom, I called her in Nigeria and I decided to fight back. I started getting my stuff together, my finances together. I was a woman who went from depending on her mom, you know, taking care of her, to being in this abusive relationship, also being dependent on this person taking care, quote unquote, taking care of me. And I immediately just took powers into my own hands. And I said, no one is going to save me but myself. And I have to save myself. And the light went on. I remember wanting to leave, and this man had kicked my car door in. I got restraining orders. He would be outside stalking, wanting where I am, I can be very honest with you. He actually followed me one time to another city and broke someone's leg in search of me. I watched him snap it into two. It was a very, very dangerous, it's what you see like in the movies. I wouldn't wish that upon my worst enemy. And it took, you know, it's one thing to decide mentally you're going to leave, but when you actually start leaving, I think it's one of the hardest things for women in abused relationships to actually leave, because your abuser is fighting tooth and nail, and they don't want you to leave.
Had you had any form, or was it around you when you were growing up?
You know, it wasn't around me, but I never thought the absence of a male figure had such a big impact, but it does, because I never learned what a healthy love was from a male figure. I come from a very matriarchal lineage. I was raised by aunties and my mom, raised by strong women. And as a child, you know, you still almost like wonder what it would feel like to have a present father. And you try, unfortunately, some of us transfer that energy into random men. So I had never seen it, never experienced it. And here I am. But I do also come from a society of deep-seated patriarchy and misogyny. And women are also taught, no matter how strong you are, your strength should not overshadow men. So when you're taught that, even when you come from a strong line of women and you're now in this relationship, and, you know, I remember going to his mom, telling his mother that I was being abused, and she took me to church for deliverance.
Crazy.
She took me to church to get delivered. Now,
so
I don't...
Go ahead.
I don't think she meant me harm, but I think that she definitely did not have my best intention compared...
Yeah.
I think her son at my expense. Yes.
Right. Yes. Right. Mm-hmm. So now you're finally really, truly on your own.
Mm-hmm.
And... I read your background to everyone. They heard it. You obviously, how did you go from that place to where you ended up in beauty?
So beauty for me has always been an escape. My mother owned a beauty salon when I was a child. I grew up running around there when I, you know, when I went outside of school, she would let me come and you know, I would be working. I thought I was working. Yes. And during those moments of violence, during those moments of sadness, I really found rest and restoration in my beauty routines, like being able to put the music on, being able to put some worship songs on, and just really spend some time with myself. That was when I found solace. When I locked that bathroom door, you know, I would be there for an hour. And that was where I really found peace in those moments. You know, people say, I don't know if you've ever heard of people praying in their showers. Like, I would be one of those, like, with worship.
Hey, I'm one of those.
Praying in the shower.
A lot of times.
You know,
I pray in my bath.
You know, that's really where my own temple is. And I really, those moments really brought me peace. They brought me peace. I knew that I would not be disturbed. I knew that that hour would just be mine. And it really became
so true. It's so beautiful, because that's actually where I talk to my mom a lot. Mm-hmm. I talk to her in the car, but the bathtub is, you know, and she didn't even like baths, but I love them. And so I'm like, I know you don't, but she used to come with me on business trips sometimes. And, you know, I'd say, all right, I'm going to go take a bath. And she said, well, then I'm going to bring my cocktail in and I'll just sit and talk to you. I'm like, okay. So, you know, it's funny. And I love that. Okay. So you were praying. And let me ask you, what were you really praying for?
For the longest time, I was praying for God to fix my situation. And, you know, the harder I prayed for God to fix my situation, the worse it got, the worse the abuse got. It was like, I couldn't understand God. God was telling me, you need to leave. And I was still praying that God would fix this horrible individual that was beyond fixing.
Yeah.
Praying for myself, you know, for God's deliverance. And as soon as I knew that I was the victim, I started praying for freedom and praying for God.
You started to pray for freedom. And you're now out, you're on your own, you're still helping your brother, because he's now
a baby as well. You know, he's 17, he's living with me. And I, one thing about me, no matter what goes on in my personal life, I always have my professional life together. So right in college, I remember I had an internship. I worked for Dillard's as well. I became one of the youngest perfumers in Oklahoma. Then this other woman noticed me from Lancome. She loved the way I spoke to customers and how interested I was. I really, really took it to heart. And she was like, hey, you want to be on Lancome's team? I started as a makeup artist, and I became a national artist. So I was actually traveling. I would travel with the team all over the country and sometimes internationally, just doing events, activations. And then I became what they called me, a beauty advisor, but I would fly to different countries teaching them how to do makeup and skincare for all types of women. I was like, I was a one size fits all for each counter. If you were struggling with, you know, numbers, if you're struggling with training, they would send me to your counter to kind of like work into shape in a good way, in a gentle way of love. So that became my job. And no one would really know what was going on. For the longest time, people never knew that I was suffering like this in my personal life, but I was excelling because, again, my first love has always been beauty. Yeah. And I enjoy the way people feel when they have a moment to see themselves in the way that other people see them, in a positive light. I enjoy when they're able to realize that they can replicate, you know, the same thing that they might be able to get at the Lancôme counter. I enjoy empowering you. I remember I used to teach older women who were so overwhelmed by skincare routine. And I had this little trick. I would arrange each step in front of them and take a picture on their phone. So when they got home, they knew, you know, by the picture, what step was what step. That's the empowerment aspect. People like to minimize beauty as a vanity metric, when indeed it's more than that. We all interact with it every day. And when you feel good, you're a better person. When you feel good, you know, you do good. When you feel good, you think more, you think outside of yourself, you're able to be kinder to others. So that's what it means to me.
I think it's also transformative, right? There's a transformation that happens. I remember I would go from a boardroom to a date when I was single, and I would put on lip gloss. And that was my transformation as I was going in the car, so that I didn't come in as, you know, hot as hot can be, like, you know, so I just came from this meeting and, you know, no guy would ever want me at that stage. And it did. It was a reminder that put on your feminine side, be me. I'm a woman. I'm a woman at heart, even though I was trying to be a man all day. And I really can appreciate that. And I love that you, it really touches your heart, right? It really is something there. So you decided to get involved in the beauty industry in a bigger way. What really caused you to do that?
Shout out to one of my bosses. Good bosses are so impactful. Anybody listening here, if you're a leader, a manager, a boss, you need to know that you have the power to really effect change in people's lives. This lady, her name is Cheyenne. She took me underneath her wing in a big way. I was working at Lancôme and she used to just watch me. And she used to work at Lancôme for a brief moment. We never worked directly under each other, but she was my boss's boss, but she loved me in every way. And she would always mentor me and take care of me and just, you know, have coffee dates with me. And then when she was going to Dior, she was like, hey, I'm going to leave and I'm taking you with me. Do you want to come? There's a business manager position open for you. I'm like, what? Business manager? She's like, I believe in you. You can do this. I will be with you every step of the way. Let's go. It's better. I mean, it was better pay, but still it was scary. And I said, okay. And I became a business manager for Dior with her under her tutelage. She mentored and coached me like her life depended on it. She took her time out. She spent times with me on the phone as I was strategizing about the team and how to grow sales and revenue and, you know, this district. And that was when I really saw myself like, okay, you're more than just a, you know, the tool, but you can really manage. You can really be a businesswoman. You can really get financial freedom in this space. And I took it so seriously. I enjoyed it because just like how she was so impactful for my life, I also wanted to be impactful to other people's lives as well. And I said, oh, I've been given a responsibility. I have to make it fly. In that role, I noticed that Dior brides will come in and a lot of times they would never, you know, they wouldn't interact with the skincare or the cosmetics or the fragrances. They would just get their bridles and go. And I thought, we're missing a little gap here. How about we merge it all and give the Dior bride an experience? So now I built out this program where not only are you coming for your bridal, but you're also coming, you have a one-stop shop. You get fitted for fragrances for your day. You get your makeup look done. You don't have to, you know, choose it, but you have the option of it. You get your skincare routine. You know, we will customize this 3-month skincare prep routine for you leading up to your wedding day. And it actually ended up increasing our revenue by 30%.
Good for you.
Yes. Now, it was such a successful program. Obviously, people loved it. They recognized it. But, you know, I got praises. But it really was Cheyenne believing in me so much, fiercely, that I started believing in myself. And I decided to start dreaming fearlessly in this space. And, you know, long story short, I did that for a couple of years. And then after that, left for a couple of months. And I launched Skimmies. And yeah.
So tell us about this fierce, like, desire to create a beauty product that you didn't see on the shelves. And Skin Muse was born. Why was that?
You know, I remember traveling one time, going to TSA, and they had thrown away my homemade body butter mixture. And I was so pissed. I was like, oh my God.
Oh.
Like, you guys don't understand. I have to get the shea from West Africa. I have to get this. I have to go through this back alley to get this type of bag. I was like a nerd. I used to be in the kitchen just mixing up all types of body care, because at that time, the luxury space didn't have products like this. Things that, you know, had ingredients that were familiar to multicultural women. So I was so pissed, and then they threw it away. And I'm sitting on the plane with my group of colleagues or co-workers, and they don't have this annoyance going on, because they know that even if they went to the hotel, personally, I don't think the hotel lotion is lotion, but some people can use the hotel lotion. I cannot. I'm already pissed because I know I'm going to land and I'm going to have to find a store. I'm just annoyed at the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And the idea comes in, and I literally say to myself, if I, who have been working in beauty all her life, if I'm dealing with this, how many other people are dealing with this? And the nerd in me, I just start researching like a crazy person. I mean, I'm on the computer, I'm researching data, I'm researching numbers, I'm researching trends. We actually surveyed 100 multicultural women in 2019 with the formula and got feedback. And I realized this is not a me issue. And I found out that even though, especially Black women spend $8 billion every year on beauty, that's twice as much as everybody else. Formulation is all...
Wait. Black women spend more than... Caucasian or any of the other, you know, any nationality. They really do.
Yes.
No way.
Yes. 8 billion.
I feel like I spend a boatload on that.
But when you think about it, like, culture for us, like, beauty for us is culture, even down to your hair, you know, nails, nail sets. Right now, some people are paying $250. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so when I found those numbers, I was like, this is insane. Why is the beauty market is missing a big piece? Like, this is insane. So I go to work, I start crunching, you know, the numbers. My now husband has a background in fashion and branding. I'm a great businesswoman. I love beauty, but I have no branding experience. And I tell him my idea, and he's like, okay, you do what you need to do.
Yeah.
And this is how, you know, we birthed this beautiful business. I started with body care intentionally because, you know, when you go back to those times where I found solace, it was through body care. It was through the baths. It was through the time with my body. I always say Skin Muse is a premium beauty brand for your soul's vessel. That's what I want in this company. That's what I'm building with this company.
Yeah.
Brand for your vessel. A moment for you to take a pause and check in with yourself. And we never look back.
You're speaking my love language right now. You know that. And I had the privilege and the pleasure to get your products. And I mean, it is a luxurious moment. It is one of those that you're like, oh, I've arrived. So, okay. But I do want to tap into, you started this what year?
I started this company 2020. We launched.
Okay.
We launched June 2020 in the pen. We're Pandy baby.
Okay. Yeah. I was going to say, so let's talk about the journey of starting an entrepreneurial venture where it's your first and you're hit with the pandemic, and how have you been able to keep it going? You said 18. So you've been going for a while now in a very challenging, uniquely different environment?
I remember, you know, we did a soft light test out in the market in November 2019, and we made this big strategy. We had marketing goals, all these things. And then 2020 comes and it's like, oh, whoa, you can't even get into the store. And that was when the Holy Spirit said, lean into your other strengths, be consistent, don't stop. I wanted to say, okay, we'll just wait till the pandemic is over and then we'll pick up. And the Holy Spirit was like, no, you have time. Lean into your strengths. I leaned into my strengths. And one of our strengths was the visuals. Because you think about beauty, people like to smell, touch, feel. But if people can smell, touch, or feel, what can you do? They can see. Everybody was on their phones. Everybody was, you know, on the internet. Everybody was online. They can see. And we leaned into that heavily. This beautiful baby, which is our MVP product, the Divine Body Oil. We started taking really visually.
Yeah. And for those that are just looking or listening to this, they can't see it. Big, big bottle behind her. Beautiful. It looks very elegant. And so you share with us what that is.
This is our MVP product. It's called the Divine Body Oil. It's a fast absorbing. People like to call it a dry oil because it doesn't leave that greasy feeling on you, but it gives you the best glow. It has only 5 ingredients, so it's a clean beauty product. It has a beautiful smell called Egyptian honey in there. So it wafts after you and it layers perfectly with any fragrance that you find in the market. So that's what that is. This beautiful baby, we started taking really visually pleasing aesthetically pictures with it, and it got noticed by Beyonce.
No, that's how it was. You know, that was going to be my next question here. Now that, so she saw it in a publication. And where did she see it? How did it happen?
Shout out to, at the time, one of her stylists was Serena Akers. I always tell beauty brands, like, it's great to chase the celebrities, but you need to chase the stylists. The stylists are the ones. Her stylist had interacted with our product. Now, I can't confirm if she bought or she just interacted online, but she was aware of the product. And Beyonce at that time was building a list of, you know, Black brands she wanted to highlight. And her stylist had also helped her curate the list. Because of the stylist, you know, she brings it to Beyonce. The stylist is helping her curate the list. And Beyonce releases this list of brands that she loves that are owned by Black people.
So great.
You cannot imagine. I remember I was sitting in my apartment in Inglewood eating oxtails. It was Juneteenth.
And eating oxtails.
I remember I was going, I do this thing with my husband when we go like restaurant hopping. Love food. So like it's one of my favorite day activities. He takes me to like 4 restaurants in a day. So
like instead of a progressive dinner where you go to, you know, one person's house for the salad and then the dinner and the dessert. What are you doing? You're going to all these. Are you eating at every single one?
Maybe we might pick like a specialty dish here. You would go pick like special dishes each restaurant. It's a whole thing. I need to actually record a TikTok about it because it's my favorite date. Honestly, it's one of my favorite dates he does with me. So I'm eating.
I'm loving it. And you know, I'm going to tell E all about it. And we're going
to
do it.
We have to.
I'm going
to
do this.
Yes, it's the best date.
So when I come to LA, we're going to do it. Because this is totally what I love too. I love that. Like having one little thing here, one little thing there. Okay.
So I'm sitting there, I'm eating my oxtails and orders are coming in. Now at that time, we're just new. People don't really know. So in a day, we maybe get like one order, right? And like 5 had come in. And I was like, oh, people are really shopping on Juneteenth, but we weren't doing a special. Then 10 orders came in. And I'm like, did find us or something? Like, which influencer? And, you know, he looks at me and he's like chuckling. He's like, you should ask God for 20 orders. And I, in the middle of oxtail, I go, God, give us 20 orders. And 20 orders come in. And I was like, okay, something's going on. What is happening? And I go on Twitter and I say, I don't know which influencer has posted skin use. Thank you so much. And immediately I tweet my friend. It's like, girl, Beyonce posted you. And I thought she was, I'm a Beyonce fan.
Yeah,
an extreme Beehive member. I'm not going to lose my mind, you know, but I do appreciate everything Beyonce does. I'm a Beyonce fan. I'm a healthy Beyonce fan.
And so am I. In fact, I use her almost every day in my conversations and coaching. I will talk about Sasha Fierce, her alter ego, her shego, and how your identity drives. I mean, I do this. This is like
my channel. She's so amazing. She's so Beyonce, amazing. If you're listening to this podcast, we love you.
Yes, we love you.
So I'm just in awe. And I'm just like, my friend is like, girl, I thought she was messing with me. She screenshots it. She sends it to me. And I thought, I responded, what a cruel joke this would be. Why would you? I didn't even think to check. I just assumed that she was playing. I said, that's a cruel joke. Do that. And another person is like, girl, calls me and my phone starts blowing up and the orders, I'm telling you, like, I lost count. Now, an hour in, we're already sold out. And I call my mentor and I'm like, I have to mark the site closed, sold off. Like, it's done. It's done. She's like, do not do that. Leave it open. Leave it open. And I'm getting afraid because so many orders are flooding in. It was 3 days of constant ding, ding, like ding. You would wake up, orders, go to bed, orders every hour. And I'm having anxiety because internally, as a new business owner, I don't know how I'm going to fulfill all these orders.
Right. The fulfillment side of it.
You know,
delivery. We talk about the delivery. Yes.
Luckily for me, I had gone through this beautiful accelerator 3 months before to prepare me and really sharpen my business skills. And I intentionally started to build a really good relationship with my vendors before then. I intentionally sought out vendors that were small business owners. I sought out vendors who were women, you know, minorities, people who I knew aligned with my brand and values. And when it was all happening, my mentor was like, just be transparent with people. Let them know. They probably saw you on Beyonce's website. Give you some time. She's like, how long do you think it'll take you to do all these orders? I said, maybe 2 weeks. I wasn't even sure. I emailed every single vendor and I told them people were expediting packages to us during the pandemic without us having to pay. We wanted to support this new business. I mean, we were just like, we were babies. We were literally out the womb. We had no credit. Like, we had none with them. But they.
Oh, this is such. You know what? This is the kind of story you just love. But I gotta keep you going here because you have the highs.
Yes.
And there's also the lows. Ooh. And I call it the relaunch roller coaster of business. And so you are continuing to move forward. And what has business been like for you?
You know, business has been, I'm currently in my hardest season of business, to be very open and vulnerable and transparent. The economy is different. Luxury products are not a priority for most people, especially, you know, with our target audience. People are prioritizing other things. And it's just a different, we've expanded into our own production facility. We've expanded the team. We've gone from just myself to a team of, you know, we're now a team of 12 people. And it is extremely difficult. It has been high highs, but also low lows. There have been times where I wake up with anxiety, not understanding how I'm going to make it into next month in this season, because nothing is predictable anymore. There have been times.
How are you finding the fundraising landscape right now?
Oh, it is. Think of the yuckiest meal you ever ate that made you nauseous to throw up, that you had to like maybe get to the hospital, you had food poisoning. That's how I find the fundraising market right now, especially with CPG brands, especially with Black founders. Recently, there was a report that came out that said we only received 0.46% of funding.
So I know people hearing that are going to be shocked because there is this myth, and I can say it because I've now had quite a few conversations with some of my closest friends that are trying to, as you know, Black female, trying to raise money. And the perception is that, oh, if you're a Black woman, you can go out there and you can raise capital very quickly, right? I mean,
That is the opposite. Now we have anomalies, you know, like every other group does, but that is not the truth for the vast majority. 90% of us are building businesses with our own money, with our own funds, with our life savings. When you have a market where less than 1% of funding is going towards your demographic, where you have a market where you have to educate people. I once went into a room to pitch for funding, and before, the investor never looked at my pitch deck, and I know that because I have a tracking link. He never looked at the pitch deck and proceeds to interrupt me and say, well, you know, you're a Black woman. I see other Black women like you. You can just walk into a bank and get a loan, no? And I'm thinking, you haven't even looked at my pitch deck. You know, there's this assumption that you brought into the room with, why are you wasting my time? If you believe this, why have you wasted my time? So there's a lot of time wasting. There's a lot of education that you shouldn't have to do in these rooms, unfortunately, because there's nobody who else understands what you're building, which I think is the responsibility of an investor. As a woman, we can invest in things that have to do with men. Nobody thinks twice about that. Women, we're able to understand what a healthy business is, what a promising business is. But it seems that when it comes to, especially Black women, people get so kind of ignorant and almost dumb that they think they can't just put 2 and 2 equals 4. You have to literally help them break down the math equation. And even then, and you have can have traction like mine. Like we bootstrapped this business to $500,000, bootstrapped. This is no...
That is so impressive.
We've expanded, gone into Macy's, you know, had activations with Nordstrom. We've done amazing things, partnership with American Express, with Art Basel, all with our own money. Every money that we've received, most of it has been, 90% of it has been non-dilutive funding, meaning I have gone out to pitch competitions. Imagine you running a six-figure business and you still have to carve out time to go out to pitch competitions for funding, not because you want to, because let's be real, everybody wants to run their business, but you have to, because in order for you to grow, you need outside capital. So it's been hard. It's been difficult.
I know that world very well.
Yeah.
And yeah. It was definitely as a female in a very much, and it still is, a man's world from an investor community. Mm-hmm. But there are female investment groups now. Mm-hmm. I'm part of actually a few of them. When you think about, there is Portfolia. There is
Giant Angels.
Springboard. Mm-hmm. And then what was the one you just said?
Pipeline Angels. That's another
one. Yeah, Pipeline Angels. Mm-hmm. And how are you finding those types of groups? Because I know that there's some pros and cons to those types of female groups as well. What are you finding?
I think that I love them. I'm actually in a due diligence process with one of those groups that we just talked about. Mm-hmm. I love them because I'm very intentional about who I get in bed with for money. Mm-hmm. I think it's unfortunate because women...
I'm glad you said for money, as we've already discussed, you just got married.
I know.
Good.
But I think that's not enough. You know, we've had to intentionally make these groups because we know that it's a necessity. It's not like, it's not a girls project. It's not this like fraud project that not somebody came together, put together. It's a necessity because women need these groups. I think because we're a CPG company, it's a little harder to, you know, divvy up the resources in the market. There's not enough for all of us, and that's the truth. But I absolutely appreciate the fact that I have an opportunity to be in the room with these groups. For example, when I pitched to one of these angel investor networks, this current one that I pitched, in 15 minutes as I was pitching, the women were buying. And I made $1,500 in pitching in 15 minutes.
That is so terrific.
Yes. And that's the power of this network, these networks, that they can think of you so much with little education. 15 minutes. I just spoke to them about the company.
Yeah.
And 15 minutes, they spent $1,500.
Okay. But I have to say, $1,500 isn't going to get you where you need to go. In fact, even a few more zeros isn't going to get you where you want to go. So what is your strategy first and foremost? Because you can't go out to raise money if your mindset isn't right. So how do you get yourself, as you said, hey, I want to be running a six-figure business and I'm actually running it. I'm not out on the road trying to raise more money and trying to meet payroll every single month, because I also understand that. Mm-hmm. And living kind of paycheck by paycheck or investment dollar mm-hmm. to paycheck, as it sometimes is. So how do you get yourself into that mindset of prosperity versus scarcity?
You know, I look at myself as a vessel for
my community and change. That's the first thing. I always remember when I, before God blessed me with this business, I would always pray, God bless me so much that I become a resource for my community. And when I go into, when I'm getting ready for, you know, to tackle this on or go for fundraising or really get myself in my mindset, I think about every single person on my payroll and how, you know, my assistant has a 2-year-old. I think about how our community manager deserves a raise. I think about how our head of partnerships has sacrificed. I think about my partner, how much he has sacrificed for me. And not because I'm not worthy of these sacrifices. I'm worthy of them. You know, I deserve every help that has come my way. But because to whom much is given, much is expected of myself, I know that I'm capable of doing so much more when all the puzzle pieces hit. I know that I have the capacity to show people that work environments can be loving and warm and you can still get things done. I know that I have the capacity to reintroduce people to what beauty is outside of just being a vanity metric. So those are the things that keep me going. And also, my God, I am a believer in the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't go anywhere without God. So once I have that, I feel confident and I know that whatever will be. And as far as I'm in God's will, that's all that matters.
God. Isn't there a song, Que Sera, Sera?
Que Sera, Sera.
Right?
Yeah.
And I'm hearing that right now. And I think that it is your attitude, and you really have an attitude of gratitude. You're such a beautiful, beautiful person. As we go into whenever people are listening, whether it's, you know, any of the seasons, What, and you mentioned, is this exclusively for Black women, or is it, and I know the answer, but I want you to say it because, or is this for any woman that needs self-care, that wants that beautiful, luxurious, but you also have priced it, you know, right in such a sweet spot. Mm-hmm. Tell us who now, when, as we're winding up here, where can people find your products and who are they really for?
We like to say we prioritize multicultural women because they haven't had a chance to see a brand like ours prioritize them. But this product can be used by any woman looking for some. If you're looking for 30 minutes of daily self-care and reflection, we are your solution. What that means is you can use our products to carve out 30 minutes a day for just your selfish time. We are your solution. We are for the aunties, you know, the women who are trendsetting in beauty, the women who pass down beauty rituals to their nieces, their daughters, their nephews. We are for the women who make purchase and buying decisions for personal care in their family homes. That's who we're for. The people who need somebody else to take care of them. That's who we're for. Our strategy right now is focused in the hospitality space. So you might not find us in Sephora, but you can find us in Macy's. You can find us online at skinmuse.com, just like you spelled earlier, S-K-N-M-U-S-E. You can find us in store at 13 Loon. And if you go on our website, if you actually look up locations, we actually stock most of our wholesalers and most of our retailers are owned by women. So I'm very proud of that. So yes, that's where you can find us.
Let me ask you as a final question, because I have once asked you before, Black women, their skin is gorgeous.
Yes.
I mean, you age so gracefully.
Well,
I mean, can I ask, is the fountain of youth in your jar? What is it? What is it about your skin? Please pass it on to this white woman who burned her skin too much when she was a young girl, ended up getting melanoma.
I know.
I got it 20 years ago. There's only one advantage that I have really seen with getting melanoma when I was about 30 years old. And that is it kept me out of the sun. It made me wear sunblock. I swear I would look like a 100-year-old woman right now if it didn't happen. So you're right. There's always that, like, you know, the blessing in disguise, you know, happening. It's happening not to me, but for me. But if you want to know, what is it about Black women's skin that does allow you to gracefully age?
Hillary, we're going to have to find another episode for that. But a simple, like...
Yeah, I want you back on.
Everyone's going to cringe when I give you this answer. They're going to be like, no, that's not what we wanted to hear. We want to hear more. But the honest, simple truth is sisterhood. There's a way Black women practice that I cannot explain. But I've never really... I can't speak for others, but I can only speak from my experience. There's something in the way we interact with sisterhood and beauty that honestly we need a documentary on, because everybody can learn from it. And
I've got another opportunity for you that we will talk about. Okay. There's a new show that I am hosting with a beautiful, beautiful, from the outside to the inside soul, beautiful Black woman. And she laughs at me and says, "Hillary, God gave you white skin, but you are a Black woman." But there is an opportunity, and I will mention this when we get off, because I do think you should have a documentary around this and this whole journey that you've been on. So again, skin, S-K-N, Muse, M-U-S-E.com. We will have a gift code that you are so kindly...
Relaunch 20. Yes, it's going to be Relaunch 20, and it'll be active in time when this podcast releases.
Yeah. So Relaunch 20 gets you a discount, 20% off of the products. Please go visit. I love them. You will love them. And, you know, again, thank you. And I'm going to do it again. I'm not afraid of anything.
You got this.
Izane. Yes. Oh, God. I don't know what it is about language and hearing. I love music. Wow. Okay. Izane.
Yes. Can I make you feel better? I still don't know how to pronounce your last name, Hillary.
That's okay. This morning, someone butchered it, and I told him three times what my name was. It's De Caesar. And I said, like, the Caesar salad.
That's right.
I'm like, I couldn't even bear to, but at least you're like, hey, you know, you're schooling me and I love it. Thank you. And so Mrs. Price.
Yes.
You are not only beautiful, but you got the brain power. I'm excited to see where your business comes. And again, I would love to have you back so we can talk more about actually your future success that I'm already seeing.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Amen. I appreciate the time here. And I know you have to go, but...
Absolutely. This was wonderful. You take care. Thanks again.
Bye.
All right. That's a wrap for today's episode of the Relaunch Podcast. If you felt a spark, a shift, or a little nudge from our show today, why not leave a 5-star review on iTunes? It helps us spread the word. So please share this episode with someone who could use that same spark. Make sure to check out therelaunch.com/podcast for the goodies from today's episode. And remember this, right now is your golden opportunity to shift and relaunch into the life you've always imagined. Let's continue to build our own powerful stories of resilience and reinvention. Until next time, ready, set, relaunch.